Welcome back, everybody, to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind Podcast. We do this once a week. I've got Kerry J.K. on the line with me, as usual, my co-host. And we're going to be discussing all things having to do with marketing and releasing your music, getting it out there, attracting a fan base, building a fan base, keeping those folks engaged, and hopefully getting them to spend some money with you at some point, letting them pay or asking them to pay. There's tons of different options. We did just finish a two-parter on what to do now that everything appears to be free out there in internet land, and how you can like leverage free, and then how you can take that to the next level. So that was a great series. And today we are going to be talking about releasing music. How do we do it in almost 2020, the second completing this as we could head in on it's almost the third right decade of the 21st century. You know, what do we do in this day and age to get the music out there? You know, is it, do you release singles, do you do EPs, vinyl seems to be making a comeback. There's a lot of different options, so that is going to be today's discussion. If you would like more information on past podcasts that we've done, you can go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com and get more information there. So go ahead. Let's go ahead and get into it today. Then I've got Kerry is with me, and so we've been kind of talking about this because this year I'd planned to release a lot more music than I did. But the good news is we'll have at least one song more released this year before the end of the year, maybe two. I wrapped up two this week and sent them off to get mixed, and so I got fingers and toes and everything crossed, and I want to get at least one of these suckers done. But how I had planned on doing it was just releasing songs throughout the year. And then maybe, we could talk about that. That was my plan, was just to kind of put out some singles. I'd done full-length albums in the past. Leah, who we talk about a lot on here, is a big fan of the album. Tom Hess is another guy that... She is a music business coach. He's a big fan of the album as well. But there's different approaches. One size does not fit all, obviously. So, Kerry, we've been talking about this, and there's so many different ways to do it. And you were talking about doing a five-song something or other. Yeah. You had let's get into that. What are your sort of thoughts on this?
Well, I'll preface this that I am also a big fan of the album. And that is... What I've said before is singles are for the instant, EPs are for the interim, and the album is for posterity. And that's really what you're aiming for, is your album's going to be the thing that sits there and stands by what it is. However, along the way there, what has changed is the rate at which we do. Because now, with so much out there and so much competition, and also because it's so easy to actually release something, I think it's more important now to have always done something lately, but it's got to be to a decent standard. And it's also how you just keep getting good at it. Sort of what I did lately, my last two were the five-song concept EPs. It's going to be a trilogy.
Okay, that's what you said. You said five-song. I know you said five-song EP, but you said five-song concept EP. Okay, now I remember you telling me about this. This is a, it's like... Instead of a concept album, right? It's a concept EP. Okay.
Well, in that those five songs, I've actually, when I started, I was just thinking, I'm just going to put the EP out, and then I'm going to combine the EPs into the next album. But then as I started doing it, I started realizing I actually quite like working in this format. Because five songs is about 25 minutes to half an hour, depending on how long you make everything, or 20 minutes to half an hour. And in that time, you can tell a really good story across that many songs. And you can send, and then of course, once you've got two of them, you've got two sides that can then be your album. And the last two I did, I'm going to combine into the next album. The next album, by the way, this is what we're going to get onto later, is one of the goals I'd heard early on was trying to find a way to keep your full album off of Spotify so that they'll actually have to come to you to get it. Well, this is one of them. If you're doing things like that, so it can actually be streaming, and then the actual deluxe or the full thing that it's aimed towards then becomes the next level with some extra material, but also more in context, will be the actual physical album. on CD on whatever format. And I'll get to, and in a moment we're going to talk about how to make that a proper value item. But yeah, this the EP, I'm really not happy with the term EP. I mean, this happened when my dad mentioned it. He always knew it as like, it was like a 7-inch record, only it had 4 songs instead of 2. And that's what an EP was, extended play. And these days, it's sort of like, it sort of like becomes synonymous with your demo when you put it out there.
Right.
Or like, it's like the interim stuff, which it sort of is. But I think in a way, now that with the digital age, there's so many EPs going out there. And then there's bands like the Sleaford Mobs, who were putting out a lot of really good material on EPs that they'd never again revisit. It would never appear on an album. That EP became something in its own right and a product in its own right. It's sort of becoming a lot more than anything throwaway or bonus that it used to be. And it's, I think it has become something in there. Whether culture will turn this into an actual product, I don't know, but it's something I'm playing with. It certainly means then that asking somebody to spend 25 minutes with you is a lot easier than asking them to spend an hour with you. I mean, like, if you ever just sat down at Netflix and said, I just want something for 25 minutes, but everything on there is an hour. And you know that if you watch that, then you have to watch the next episode too, because everything's set up for binge watching. And in the end, you end up watching nothing, so it just feels like a commitment. Whereas when you do find something that does appear in like 20 or 30 minute episodes, then you start to love that because it's just something you can put on when you need something quick.
Yeah, I'm going to eat dinner. I don't want to spend a lot of time. I don't want to get caught up in something. I'm going to be in front of the TV for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'll put on something that's, you know, these 23, 25 minute things.
And it's perfectly possible to tell a good story in that time and to do something that's satisfying. So that's in between just an instant single and a full length album that you're asking them to sit there with.
I mean, when I hear now I got to say this because you touched on this a little bit. When I hear EP, and this is because I am a gentleman who grew up in the 80s and 90s. And when I hear EP, I you said demo, and that's what I think of as EP. Mm. We're not really ready yet. So we're going to put out a few songs and, you know, just to kind of like, you know, just to kind of stay there, just to make sure, or we need some money and we don't really have our shit together for a full album. So, you know, here's 5 songs and, you know, buy that for, you know, at the time the album was $7.99. So you bought the EP for the price wasn't commiserate. It wasn't like you got it for like half price. No. It was like this album was $7.99. The EP was $6.99. So it wasn't like a big, so they, you know, so I have a kind of mixed feelings about the EP. I agree with, oh, I want something quick. you know, it's easier for people to digest, especially if they don't know who you are. It's easier for people to digest, you know, in the second decade of the 21st century, where everything is just quick, and people are bored of stuff very, 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 very fast. but does that make it right? And is that really? Are you really creating anything of true value? And then do you just become just noise? Just the other noise that's out there. And, you know, so my sort of thought on it is to release an album because that sends, I think in this day and age, that sends something to the industry and to fans that I'm serious. I'm committed to this. You know, here are 9-10 songs. I think that is, I think that's part of it. The other thing too, with an album, I think you can justify something that's more, you can justify more like physical products around it. I just have a hard time buying the band's t-shirt for their EP. You know, that just is like buy the t-shirt of our demo or something. I don't know. It just, I don't know if I'm coming across this way or if I'm just old.
Well, I'm speaking as somebody. Well, here's the thing: I have albums, and I keep pointing at the albums. And having done those albums, I'm sort of on that. That's the other thing. Since I always used to qualify since rebooting as Kerry JK because I had stuff before then as well. But that's really when I started again. And I had songs from the Age of Human Error and Human Beautiful, which are the two albums. And then I'm sort of, number three is always a key one. You know, there's like the debut, the sophomore, and then by the third album, that's when you're expected to really have arrived with your identity. So the third album is important. And sort of the third album here, I've sort of done as two EPs on the way towards it. And that was always the plan. It was going to be a trilogy of EPs. But then in the end, I think it ended up where two was enough. And the third would have made it too long. So that's sort of where... And then having done that, I sort of looked at what I had and I thought, basically what I'm doing is I'm releasing albums aside at a time. And if anyone does think it's because I haven't got enough songs, well, they can just look at my back catalogue and see that's not the case. And I've had people message me and ask me, where do they start with me? And I always said, start with the albums. But I think the other thing is it's, I mean, going back as well from before then, how long does it take in between albums? And quite often it can take 3 or 4 years in between.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of all right if you were sort of touring or doing that and the other. But especially now with increased competition and that visibility, it's always going to be, what have you done lately? And you can say, this is what I'm working, this is what I'm doing now. This is the, it's sort of like, this is the album in progress. And there's the last album. There's the album before that. But it's, I think it is the, so it gets to the point where by the time the album actually comes out, it's sort of that summation of that process rather than the beginning of it. I mean, this is another thing that goes back. I mean, the music industry has ping ponged this back and forth as well. Because it was said that like when it started in the 60s or 70s, often the album would come out as the summation of like 2 years of touring that shit.
Right.
And they would have done it and seen where it comes. And then finally they go into the studio, they record it. And then when they do the album, they'll promote it in whatever way, but then it's on to the next thing. And then after a while, when it became more studio based, it got to the bit where you made the album and no one heard a note of it until it was out. And then you went and you toured. You did nothing else for a couple of years.
Right.
And then when that had run its course, then you went and did another album.
But, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're not touring, then what do you've got to do something to keep people engaged for that period. So maybe this short bursts, EPs or three songs at a time, or even a single every month. I got a buddy of mine that writes a freaking, he's a podcast, and they write a song for every podcast and release it. And he admits that some of them are eh. But what they do is, I believe at the end of the year, or as they approach the end of the year, they take the best ones, and then they go to a real studio and work them up and put together either an EP or an album.
Well, this is
that. And so that's an interesting way. He's an interesting model, and he's full time. I mean, that's all that they do. They've got Patreons, they tour, they it's this neat combination of like the podcast with the band and everything. And so that model works. It's just a different way of doing it. So their theme is paranormal, and they each week they do a talk, they do some kind of, or they'll have somebody.
Hey, I know who you mean.
Mike Huberty.
Yeah.
That's his name. And, yep. And he's a cool dude. Good guy. You know what I mean? And he and I have talked about this. I'm just impressed that he can write a song every week. It's a total ball buster to do.
Well, but this is similar to, a lot of, I think people like Liam Lynch got his start in a similar way with like what they're doing with a lot of the early sort of adult animation stuff. The United States of Whatever was like a song at the end of an episode of what was the show they had? Siffy and Ollie show.
Okay, all right.
And my United States of Whatever was just like a throwaway song at the end of that. And in the end, it sort of became a single.
I'm just talking. We could do a show on that process because I think his process. I'd like to get him on here and have him talk about it because he and I have talked briefly about it. His process is freaking fascinating, and I think it would be really helpful for a lot of people in his group to see how he works, because there is something to be said for working fast, because it forces you to think in other ways. It forces you to get creative. And you know that you write 52 songs a year. You know that they're not all going to be like, oh my God, it's the next, you know, Hey Jude or whatever. You know that. You go in knowing that. But what happens is you do come up with a handful that are pretty freaking good. So we could talk about that. But I'm just talking, I just want to talk about the releasing thing here. So that is... you know, so we're just, what I want to get to is this idea that, like, do you we go each week or each month, we're putting something out, putting something out, putting something out, versus long periods of time. I just don't think that the people, unless you're famous, Kerry, you know, unless your name is fill in the blank, whatever famous rock star you can imagine, I'm not sure people have the patience. They're going to be on to the next thing if you take 2 years to do your next album. You know what I mean?
So, well, that's, I mean, like, how long it takes you to arrive at that album is hasn't changed. If you want it to be good, I mean, you can shit it out, but what you'll end up with is a shit album. So
really, you think so? I mean, because Pearl Jam put out, I mean, they were putting out a record within a year or less every year for a pretty different long time. And I know this is not a great example of artistic integrity or anything, but Kiss was putting out an album every 9 months. And there were bands, Zeppelin put out two albums a year a couple of times. I think the Beatles did as well. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think that just because you put out an album in a short period, you put together an album in a short period of time, that it's necessarily shit. I do understand, though, there is a difference. And I've recently heard Steve Harris from Iron Maiden talking about this, about how some of their songs, like Flight of Icarus, for instance, he wished they would have toured with that song before they recorded it. He says they love it live so much. They have like a kind of a different, he says it's a little faster, the energy's better, and they make different, Bruce makes different choices vocally that are, he feels are just better for the song. And he's like, it's like a regret. They're like, oh, if we would just have toured with that song for a year before we released it, that like it would have just been way, way better. And I've heard other artists just talk about the same thing. So that is but in this day and age, Kerr, I don't think we get that luxury, do we?
Well, I've used the analogy before. I mean, like the time to serve the soup is when the soup's done. And if it's not cooked yet, you don't serve it. And if you leave it too long, it boils over.
It's cold. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So and you can't say how long that process is going to take. That's why you always have something on the go. And so that when something is ready, you're ready to.
Let me extrapolate for what you're saying. So you're suggesting that, yes, we still do the album every 2-3 years. But in the meantime, we are doing these like mini, I don't know, this is a term from classical music, song cycles or concept. I like concept EP. Song cycle might be a better. You said you don't like the term EP. So maybe song. I'm releasing a song cycle. Anyway, a quadrilogy.
How about an episode?
An episode. So here, that's a great thing. I'm releasing an episode of my music or whatever, my band or whatever. And you could do that. Now, would you suggest that after you've distilled, because like essentially what we're talking about, to refer back to my friend Mike, is he's doing one each week and it comes out to 50 songs a year, blah, 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 blah. But we're talking about maybe not working in that kind of pace, but still doing something similar where you have a handful of songs being released once or twice a year or throughout the year. And then what do you do, Kerry? Are you suggesting you, when you go to release the album, you maybe remix those or create slightly different versions of them? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, the writing 50 songs a year thing, that's fair. And that's actually not, you probably should be writing a lot anyway. And I've said before that you write a lot more than you release most of the time. Yeah. And a lot of it will stay on the shelf. We've talked about that. And in that case, it's just, I mean, like, what I'll compare that to as well, you don't even have to have a podcast. You can do that by turning up to open mic every week. And that's one way you can really.
That's just a model he uses. Yeah. And that's part of the draw to his podcast. There's people you wrote a song for every freaking podcast. I want to check it out. And you know.
And Pete, and I'll tell you who has to do that is musical comedians. Mm. comics who do songs as part of their act, especially if they're topical comedians. If you're a topical comedian, you need new material every time you do a gig. Otherwise, it gets old. And so the ones who sing, people like Mitch Benn, guys who can play, they will have to be writing new material all the time. And so they will get into that process. And when you're doing it, you'll think of something. It won't be heavyweight stuff, but it's not meant to be. That's not the point.
So, the way I'm seeing the process is because we're trying to help people figure this situation out is you've got, it's like a funnel, and up here at the top, you've got maybe a funnel, or you have at the top with this big opening with all this music, and some of it is song, some of it's half song, some of it's maybe just some song ideas, and that gets distilled down into songs. And then those songs get distilled down into some of the stuff that you're going to possibly release on these song cycles or episodes throughout the year. And then down here, we've got the best of the best, refined these things maybe even a bit more. So when we get to the album in 18 months or 24 months, what are we doing? Are we taking, we're pulling from these other things, the best of the best, and what are we doing? We're tweaking them, we're rewriting things, maybe some better lyrics. What's the model for that album finally? Well, when we finally say, aha, and we put it out in some mega package, like we actually release an album with, you know, this is, a couple of bands have done this in the past, like back in the old days, where you send out the album in vinyl. Actually, the album is actually wrapped in the T-shirt. You know what I mean? And autographed, and you put handwritten lyrics, and you sell some Guga package for $79 or whatever, posters and artwork and little doodads you can sit on your, you know, knickknacks. So. But that's the thing you do like every 2 years or every 18 months or whatever. But where does that music come from? You're not suggesting that like we come up with all new music, or are you?
Right. Here's what I've been doing. I said before about singles are for the instant. I'll repeat this. Singles for the instant, EPs for the interim, albums, long-term posterity. That's what you end up with.
Okay.
The singles, and this is another thing as well. When you start out, of course, you love all your songs like your children. And it takes a while to figure out what your most accessible songs are. And generally, you'll need help with that one way or the other. And it generally means getting out, just throwing stuff out there and seeing what people are responding to. And ultimately, you will find a couple of songs then that will be the ones that you put out as the first thing that people are going to... The singles are the ones that where you want to impress the people who've never heard of you. And so it's got to be instant. It's got to be something that pulls people in.
Okay.
And then that could be part of your episode, your EP or whatever. I've been doing singles as part of the EP that's about to come out then. And then once the EP's out, then there'll be certain tracks that I'll put out there. And then I can refer back to the overall thing that it's come from. So that's where that goes. Singles are the things that you're going to be finding the most accessible songs. And the other thing is the ones that take off probably won't be the ones that you think of. It's funny like that.
Right. Okay.
But then all of that.
So singles first, then what are the EPs and episodes? Those are what? Are those a collection of the singles or?
Yeah. That's what I'm getting to. Okay. I mean, like the singles will be included. The other thing though, during this whole, and that's the other thing. This whole thing is an ongoing process. So while you do this, once you've got something out, then certainly when I've got these EPs out there, when I put it out at that point, I was happy with it. But as it goes on, you sort of think, I wish I'd done that. Or maybe this bit isn't working as well as I'd hoped. Or maybe this bit as well. So those are the things so that when it comes time for the next stage, whether it's the next EP, next album or whatever, then at that point you can go back and fix those things. And then you have the album versions. And it's not just about being able to say that they're there. It's just that that's where it is now. Or it might be, you might say, actually, nailed it at that point. I have nothing more to add to it. That is a statement. So I'll just put that one on the album. And then the added value is the fact that it's now in this package and it's now in this context that it wasn't before. And it's in a format it wasn't before. My EPs do not exist on physical formats and they never will. Okay. The only way they'll exist on physical formats is when they're compiled into a physical album. And at that point, I'll be making sure that there's enough extra on there for it to be worthwhile. I mean, there's the people who've bought the digital EPs, and I love them for it, and they might want the physical side there. But when they do, I want to make sure that they're getting something that they didn't have already. I know I'll probably add extra little things in there as well to thank them for their support over the time.
Okay, hold on. You said a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm taking notes. If anybody's watching the video, you see me typing. I'm not emailing people. I'm trying to take notes on what Carrie's talking about because we release the notes with when we release the podcast. So singles are like instant. Get out there, and we're not releasing anything physical until we get to the album. Is that the kind of thing? And I think it makes sense. So you could put out singles all day long, not all day long, but you know, you could I think a person who's a experienced songwriter, or a good songwriter could put out a single, a decent single once a month at least. And then what you can do is you can go through those, then you refine. So then maybe you refine them a bit, maybe expand the mix or add, you know, slightly different instrumentation and release in 6 months or a year or whatever, your EP, your episode, your song cycle. And maybe you put a couple of surprises on that too. Maybe this is a good place to put in a very interesting remake of something, of somebody else's song, or you do something fun, like you collaborate with another songwriter for the EP, okay, or something like that. You want to make this a little bit more special, and at this point we're refining the songs a little bit more. Maybe when it shows up on the EP, maybe that lyric that bothered you, that you couldn't quite get, you know, on that third verse, oh, I got it now, and so that's rewritten, okay, so you have maybe slightly different vocal takes, whatever. But it's right. Is this sounding like something we're talking about?
I mean, like, I'm coming back to earlier when you said about the 60s, about bands that would put out an album, a full LP every 9 months, and often the record contracts would demand it. Go back and look at those albums. The same songs actually repeat over that time, especially Frank Zappa did it all the time. Any Frank Zappa song you will put, or a lot of Frank Zappa songs, you will find 5 or 6 versions coming up in across his catalogue.
Yeah,
but each time he's brought something new to it, and it's like an ongoing process.
So, and both of these, the singles and these episodes or EPs, song cycles, are going to be pretty much just digital only. Maybe the EP you have just a handful, and you only sell at shows or so. You could, you know what, you could leverage that a little bit with something, okay? But the real physical thing that's going to happen is the songs and maybe some new songs and maybe, again, maybe some collaborations or covers or whatever get put together on the album, which the album is a bigger, long... It's the difference between we talked about this at the beginning of the podcast. It's the difference between that 23-minute episode of whatever on Netflix versus a Martin Scorsese directed film that goes out at the Googleplex and you spend $17 to go see and you're blown away and it's big and it's huge and it's insanely produced and you come out, you know, can't wait to go see it again. So that is the album. Correct. And this comes with all kind of goodies, all kind of extras and cool stuff that they can get. We're going to do a podcast on this sort of personalized type of merchandise in the future. Carrie has a craft kind of background, right? You have a craft business, right? Is that what, am I saying that wrong?
I have seen it's not so much myself as like my wife does and people I know,
right?
But I have been seeing the power of handmade.
So this is the place where you put, maybe you do some hand done things for people, maybe take a couple art classes and you're able to like sketch some really cool stuff. So each album might have some, come with an insert with a custom drawn thing. It doesn't have to be super. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever your thing is, it could be whatever. And so this is the big Guga package, the thing that if you're familiar with the marketing author, Dan Kennedy, he would call this your shock and awe pack. Okay. This is the thing that people get like, oh my God, not only did I get the album, but there's a t-shirt and I got a shot glass and a package of custom condoms and, you know, whatever, you know, all this awesome stuff that I can just have. And I'm, you know, nice. Get immersed in the world of this artist or this band. And that's the big thing. And also I think for a psychological bandwidth reasons, you can't release that once a month. Mm. It's just, you know, like there's no time, there's no, you know, you just couldn't, you would, you know, you can't. Mm. And also, you know, you want to make something super high quality. This has to be like the best of the best that you can produce, representing from the time we started releasing those singles through that, that episode, or maybe episodes, as however you do it, up building up to this album, the big release. Is that the picture we're talking about?
Yeah, I think the other thing as well, and this also comes into managing resources. I mean, like an album still costs to do properly. And you're always looking for ways to do things in a shoestring. I always like to, I think you have to spend money, but try to spend money when you have to and not when you don't. Because it's the only way to keep your overheads down enough to actually get somewhere. But having said that, something that's free is pride in your work. And this is something else that seeing the craft community has showed me, is that however great your artistic vision is, nothing kills it faster than if you just throw shit out. It looks like you don't care how it's presented.
Yeah.
Like I've known somebody who's been trying to sell art lately and put it in frames, but the frames, not framing it properly, just like doing it far too quickly. There's fingerprints all over it. Just little things. Little things that just look like you don't care. And if you get that as well, especially if it's something that's meant to be a gift item.
Yeah.
You look at that and you think that just looks amateurish. So whatever you do, then there's always a way to at least pay attention to the little things that make sure that whatever you put out is of decent high quality.
I think that like this goes for all the way through this process. Even with your singles, even with your episodes or EPs, you want everything that you're putting out there. So produce it the absolute best, the absolute best you can do. I mean, because people don't know the difference between Lou Lombardi, Carrie J.K., and their favorite classic artists. They don't know. They're just listening. And if your song sticks out like a sore thumb because it sounds like a demo, you know what I mean? Then you aren't, you know, and you've got like weird noises in it, like unintentional, you know what I mean? Then that's half-assing it. So at each one of these stages, you have to have that attention to detail. It's a pain in the ass because we want to get it out there. You know what I mean?
I mean, this is where it also comes. We've talked before about print on demand is a wonderful way to get stuff out there with zero overheads. However, it can be a false friend.
Yeah, and we're gonna do a whole program on that.
We are, but I'm going to mention this quickly now. And in particular, I'm going to mention Kunaki. Now, Kunaki is still the cheapest place to get CDs done because there's no human involvement. It's completely automated. So that's the reason for it. And they're quite open about this. And their competitors will tell you this. And they're quite right to as well. Because that human involvement is actually worth paying for a lot of the time. When you go to Kunaki, nobody's going to check your work. And it's just like sending something to a printer.
Right.
If you send a bad file to a printer, what you get is a terrible printout you can't use. And that's the same as if you send stuff to Kunaki without having done your own quality control first, you'll get back a box of useless CDs. And you've got no one to complain to because it's your responsibility.
Absolutely.
But the other thing is, I mean, they will, companies like that do have a dropshipping function where you can say that this person's bought it and they will send it to them. And that's lovely. And there's a lot of merchandise where they can do that exactly. However, if you put that distribution in the hands of someone else, you never even see what you're sending out to your customer. You have completely circumvented that important personal connection where that parcel isn't coming for you. It's coming from another factory. You've got no control over what the packaging is going to be like. They might let you put a message to the customer in there, maybe. But that whole experience of getting a physical thing from this person that they want to support has gone. And that is such a valuable thing. And like one of the things I've seen again with the craft site, and what my wife has done, which is, I've talked before about really making an effort with the parcel and putting little gifts in there that aren't expensive, but at least, but make it more of an experience when you open the parcel. And you don't want like confetti and shit falling all over the floor, but you do want it look like you've actually made an effort to make it nice and make it a pleasant thing to come through the post.
We'll deal with that in more detail, because my concern about that, I think it's a great idea. And I think it's also a great way to distinguish yourself, to set yourself apart from the people that are just drop shipping you a CD from their record label or whatever. My only concern, and something we'll discuss in next week, we're going to get into this next week, because we're wrapping up.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do
next week. One thing I want to know is, and maybe we can research this a little bit, is how scalable can that be? Because even if you're going with the 1,000 true fan model, that's 1,000 times you have to like personalize something.
Yeah.
So like we'll put that on the back burner, because that's a whole other topic. So the title of this podcast is Best Practices for Releasing Music 20 Years into the 21st Century. Okay. And we discussed Carrie has a unique thing with this concept EP, which I would like to explore in more detail in the future. But we discussed EP versus album. And then we come up with this process: singles for kind of the instant, keep the fans interested, you know, and yes, you want them to be great, but there is always going to be, you're always going to want to tweak later. And that tweaking later can come in when you do the next thing, which is either your EP, Carrie likes to call it an episode. I refer to it as a song cycle, and where you maybe take some of those same songs and you refine them. Maybe there's a song or two you've been holding back, you haven't released yet. So you can put that in with the package, and you do like a EP song cycle or whatever. And both of these things are primarily digital releases. We're not really looking at like sending things through the post at this point. We refine even further. We've written maybe a couple more songs. Maybe we've even come up with a couple of clever remakes of classic songs, or maybe not classic songs, but songs by, you know, they're like lost tracks or whatever from other artists. And we put together the big, you know, night out version of your music called the album. And this is the equivalent to going to see that, you know, fantastic movie you've been waiting for a year and a half. They've been teasing you with teaser trailers for a year and a half, and you go and it's absolutely amazing. And the production is stunning and everything about it is great. And that is the equivalent. That is what the album is to sort of be. And this is a physical thing. Maybe we only release some of the tracks digitally on this. To get the album, you want the full experience. They've got to get the album with all kind of extras. Maybe you ship a T-shirt with it, or some custom artwork, or you write a personal note. People love stuff like that. And then we wound up with saying that we want to make everything at all these stages absolute quality, and especially when they're going to hunk down a good chunk of money for the big, you know, the full Monty at the end. You want to make sure everything like that is totally pro. You don't want to send out stuff that's, you know, crooked, or the lettering isn't right, or there's misspellings, or, you know, anything that smacks of being half-assed or unprofessional. This has to be your absolute crowning thing. And so that's the general picture of I think what we could call best practices. Anything you want to add to that, Carrie, before we finish for today?
No, I think we're good. I think we can go further this next time. I'm gonna have to do my R&D that I wanted to. So I've got something to show you next week.
Excellent. No, this is going to be really cool. I'm very interested in this, because this idea of personalizing things is a way to set yourself apart from the just churned out whatever. You know, people love to get something that is personal. I mean, in marketing, I've been, you know, been involved in marketing masterminds for years. And something that always comes up is like how nice it is to get a personal written letter from somebody thanking you for your purchase or whatever. I mean, people really, that just blows people away. In this day and age where everything is digital and throwaway and email and text, to get something like that, you know, yeah. I got a letter from another musician that I recorded for, like, man, probably 5-6 years ago. I still have it hanging up on my refrigerator.
Yeah.
He wrote me this great note and thanked me for playing on his record. I was like, wow, I was like really touched. You know, it was very cool.
Yeah. Even like real high powered marketing guys, like people whose job it is to go to a company and get that contract for ongoing business, they will really go to town on personal contact with whoever worked in that other company.
Yep.
I think it was Harvey Mackay did a book, his business envelopes, but he was saying, you will not believe how much we know about our customers. And this was long before big data. And he was saying that we have a file that thick on everybody. And it says about, I mean, it gets to the point of being creepy, some of it, about which sports teams he supports, where his kids go to school. And all of this is so that when
we
he goes
know
to
where
that
you
meeting,
live.
or when he goes to that meeting, he can just throw in some comment about, when he brings him in, he can get him tickets for that sports game.
Right.
Have something there that's going to get him on side.
The album, guys, and the live show, which we didn't talk about today, because we're talking about releasing music, but the album is your equivalent of the taking the CEO of that company on a golf outing. You know, making sure it's a great time and that, you know, you have an awesome dinner and, you know, a great party. That is what you're doing with the album. You're like blowing their minds so that, like, oh, my God, this is perfect. This is the greatest thing ever. And that is what, that's the reaction you want, that you want to over deliver. You want to over deliver as often as you can. But when it comes to the album, that's where the big, that's where you really want to, like, blow their minds. All right, Kerry. Thanks, buddy. I'm going to wrap up the podcast. We'll talk for a minute after we're done here. But Kerry JK, what is that? What's your website again, buddy?
KJKmusic.co.uk.
Okay, and
you
got it, and you can find more about the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus and other musician mastermind podcasts that we have out there. We're doing them once a week. You can find out more information at LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Guys, have a great week. Keep making great music, and we'll catch you guys on the next podcast. Mm-hmm.